19. I have thoroughly enjoyed our time in the Psalms. Now, somewhere along the line, we're going to take a little break. You can't drive from here to California, as I said before, and we don't know why we would. But if we did, all right, made our way to California, we would have to take a stop along the way. Somewhere along the way, we'd have to take a break and get out, move around, get something to drink, get something to eat. You know, you got to take a rest. And so whenever you're going through a long series, somewhere down the line, you'll have to take a rest. And so we'll do that. And there's some other things that I want to share with y'all on Wednesday nights as well. But right now, we're right here, right in the Psalms, treasures from the Psalms. And I have thoroughly enjoyed the nuggets that the Lord has given and shown over this last year as we've been in the book of Psalms. Look, if you would, Psalm 19, verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day into day uttereth speech, and night into night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. They're a silent sermon, a wordless book. Their line, their instruction is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle, a dwelling place for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. That's the glory of the sun. I believe it says something to us about the glory of our God. And rejoices as a strong man to run a race. I believe that says something to us not only about the glory of God, but I believe it says something to us about the greatness of God. Like a strong man. And then his going forth from the end of circuits. And so he's talking about not only the glory and the greatness, but also the goodness of God. Because notice what he said, verse 6. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit and the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The same God that allows His sun to shine on the righteous allows His sun to shine on the unrighteous. The same God that allows the rain to water the garden of the saved allows the same rain to water the garden of the unsaved. God's good. He's good to all. Isn't that right? He's good to all. And the goodness of God is what leads us to repentance. Look at verse number 7. He changes the law of the Lord. Now He moves from creation to Scripture. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, restoring us to God. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. David is writing about the majesty of our God. I believe he's overwhelmed by God, and he begins to share with us about his God. And it's interesting that he's letting us know that our God is not a distant, he's not a far off God, he's a near at hand God. Aren't you glad that God has made himself known? God is a God you can know. God desires for you to know him. He desires for me to know him. He's made himself known in such a way that every person can know there is a God, and if they desire to, they can know this God. We learned that, and David's going to tell us three ways that we can know God. First of all, we looked at it in detail. His word in the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God. A wordless book. A silent sermon. All over the globe, no matter where you go, you feel the warmth of the sun. You feel the wetness of the rain. You hear, you sense the creation around you. Helen Keller said, I always knew there was a God. Both blind and deaf. Said, I always knew there was a God, but I didn't know His name. There was an innate knowledge based on creation and what God had placed within her to know that God existed. And then there was a time that a preacher came and she knew His name and she put her faith in that God. Isn't that a blessing? You see, there's nobody without a knowledge of God. They may not respond to that knowledge. They may not accept that knowledge, but they're not without knowledge of God. That's what the Bible is telling us, that everyone knows that there is a God. And God not only lets Himself be known through the heavens, the Word in the heavens, but also His Word in the hand. That we can know about God through creation, but we can know God through the Scriptures. Two ways that God has made Himself known. And the first one is what we know as general revelation. where God has revealed Himself through the world around us. Man is without excuse. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. But then we know that you can know about God through the trees and the birds and the sky and the sun, moon, stars, the planets. And it's interesting that we get the idea. So today, we've been, for some reason, we have this idea that all scientists are atheists. Did you know that's not true? Some of the greatest scientists are Bible-believing Christians. They are. Did you know that Isaac Newton, he believed that science led you to God? That's what he believed. Because heavens declare the glory of God. He believed that while he was also a theologian, he was also a great scientist. And I have a quote from him that said that he believed that he actually studied science because it was there that he saw the glory and the majesty and the mystery of God. And he could witness about that God through the creation itself and open the door for them to know God. Isn't that amazing? By the way, when you go to Westminster Abbey, You stand there and you look up, and there in the wall, there in Westminster Abbey, in a place of honor, is the body of Isaac Newton. Great scientist, great philanthropist, a great theologian. You know that? You stand on Charles Darwin. He's buried in the floor. Isn't that interesting? I felt pretty good. I'm looking up at Isaac Newton and I'm standing on Charles Darwin. I felt pretty good about that. You know that every person, you know that science will lead you to God. It will. It'll lead you to God. And the interesting thing is that even today, that you say, well, what about people that are scientists or atheists and they push the theory of evolution? Do you know that every one of them, if you go back and you look at all of the atheistic philosophers, Karl Marx, Friedrich Nietzsche, Charles Darwin, all of these different, do you know every one of them had a bias against God when you listen to their writings? They didn't want to believe in God. They were looking for an excuse not to believe in God. Can I tell you, God says because of the Word in the heavens, they are without excuse. But those that respond to the Word in the heavens, God said, you can know me specially through my revelation called the Scriptures, my Word in your hand. He gives us seven characteristics about the Word of God. We began looking at it last Wednesday night. I want to move along quickly tonight so we can finish our message. Letter A in your notes. The next one. The Scriptures are perfect. We saw that. Notice verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. Aren't you glad we have a perfect Bible tonight? The inerrancy of Scripture, converting the soul. It's through the Scriptures that we're made right with God. We wouldn't know we were sinners. We wouldn't know there's a plan of salvation. We wouldn't know there is a Savior if God didn't tell us in His Word. Aren't you glad God gave us His Word? But not only do we have the Scriptures are perfect, the Scriptures are plain. Notice verse 7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Aren't you glad? That word sure means certain. It's unmovable. We live in days of such uncertainty. I'm glad that the Bible is a constant and ever-changing world and universe that listen, John 3:16 is always John 3:16. You know it's forever been John 3:16. Always. You say, well, wait a minute, John didn't write it till about 97 AD. Well, it was in the heart of God from all eternity. The Bible said, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. It's always been John. It'll always be John 3:16. Isn't that a blessing? And they're plain that so simple a child can understand them. Then the Scriptures are pure. Look at verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right. Can I tell you, God's Word is always right. It's always right. There's times we argue with God. There's times we say, God, are you sure? But God doesn't stutter and God doesn't stammer. Everything God says is right. It is. No matter what He's talking about, it's always right. And it rejoices and it rejoices the heart. It's pleasing. It's pleasing. Did you see that? It's pleasing. It rejoices the heart. What a joy the Bible brings. Don't let the devil make you think that living for God is hard or difficult or bad for your life. Can I tell you that a lot of people have the idea, especially young adults, that if I do the will of God, that I'm going to be miserable, that God wants to make me miserable, and nothing can be further from the truth. God tells me that His Word is that His will is perfect and acceptable, and it's good. And that's why He tells us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind through the Word of God, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because I find His will for my life in the pages of the Word of God. And when I'm doing God's will, it rejoices my heart. There's joy that comes from me to our lives when we come to the Word and God feeds us and God grows us and God teaches us and we learn about God and His love for us. Friend, how can that not rejoice you? The Bible's a joy. The Scriptures are pure. Not only are they perfect and plain and pleasing, they're pure. Look at verse 8 again. He said, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You know that word pure means unmixed. Unmixed. There's no error in the Bible. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Do you know if there's ever any doubt in our lives from the word of God, about the word of God, it never comes from God. You see, it was Satan in the garden that said to Eve, our very first parents, at the dawn of human civilization, yea, hath God said. Satan desires to plant doubt in our hearts. Did God really say what He mean? Did God really say that? Friend, can I tell you, His Word is truth. It is pure. And day in and day out, we're bombarded by ideas and philosophies that are dangerous and they're wrong. And if we follow them, they'll lead us down paths of destruction, down destructive paths. Pluralism, that there's many ways to God. Calvinism, that God's chosen who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost, and there's nothing you can do about that. They limit the blood of Christ to just a select few. Theological liberalism that denies the miracles and of the Bible and the deity of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. Do you realize that, friend, believing in Christ is not a leap in the dark. It's not an unreasonable faith. It is a reasonable faith. It's objective faith. Do you realize that God has based all of the reality of Jesus Christ based on the fact that there is an empty tomb? You can go there today and the tomb is empty. It's objective. God's not asking me to trust Him with some kind of blind faith. He said, I want you to trust me with a reasonable faith. It's reasonable. Listen, the Bible, friend, listen, there are prophecies that you can open an encyclopedia and you can lay that encyclopedia beside the Bible and find as these nations that God prophesied about, you can test it, are just exactly what the prophet said would happen. It's a fact. Amazing, you can go to Israel and you can find the nation of Israel, but you can't find the Philistines. You know why? Because God said to the Moabites and the Philistines that they wouldn't be a people again. Isn't that something? Whatever God said about a people, do you know it's interesting? You don't have any Samaritans today? By the way, Samaria has never been rebuilt. It's not. You know why? Because God prophesied Samaria wouldn't be built. You know what you go? You find rocks thrown down into the valley. You find just exactly, when you read the Bible, what God would say would happen to Samaria. You go there and it's exactly as God said. It's pure. Progressivism. Wokeism. Humanism. Marxism. All of them will lead you down destructive paths. But in the Bible, you'll find no error. It's pure. It always leads us in right paths. He enlightens our eyes. He gives us understanding on how to live life. He always leads in right paths. God will never lead you down a wrong path. Next, the Scriptures are permanent. Look at verse 9. Notice he said, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Do you realize the fear of the Lord is actually a name for the Scriptures? Because the Bible, and when I know who God is and the awesomeness of my God, it places within me a reverential fear and awe of our God. I stand in awe and amazement of God as it leads to a reverential love of God. And so David is saying that when we know God through the Scriptures, that it's the fear of the Lord. It teaches us how to love God. They're morally right. They're clean. Proverbs 16:6, by fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. A healthy fear of God will keep us from sins that are destructive for our lives. They're enduring forever. The Scriptures are never out of date. They're just as fresh and relevant to our lives today as when they were first given. They're never inappropriate. They apply to every age. They apply to every circumstance. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. They're permanent. The Scriptures are profitable. Look at verse 9. He said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. You know what he's saying there? They're profitable. They're beneficial to our lives. I hear a lot today about being a success and being successful. You know, there's a danger of being successful in the wrong things. Joshua 1:8, God told Joshua, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You want to be successful in life? Then master the Word of God. Live by the precepts and principles of the Scriptures. And then I want you to notice verse 10, they're precious. They're precious. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You know, there's some times you just go to the Bible and it's sweet, isn't it? Sweet. The Bible's a treasure chest of riches, of more value than all the gold and the goods and the stuff this world has to offer. President Theodore Roosevelt said, a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. It is. A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. It is. Because you can go to college and you can learn how to make a living, but friend, when you open the Bible, you learn how to live a life. There's a difference. There's a difference. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. You see, we've learned three ways you can know God. First of all, His Word in the heavens. Secondly, His Word in the hand. Thirdly, His Word in the heart. Notice the change, verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. It's one thing to see the Word of God in the heavens, something else to have it in your hand, but it's even more so to get it in your heart. Isn't that something? He mentions, first of all, its conviction. By thy servant is warned. When we get God's Word in our heart, it admonishes us, it warns us, it convicts us, it shows us what's right and wrong in life and in our lives. Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might sin against thee. Do you know God's word in the heart warns us of the deceitful, devastating, destructive nature of sin? Do you know everything, every brokenness in human life can be traced back to the fallen nature of man? It can. God addresses that in the Scriptures. By the way, if we could fix them, I'm amazed at how Bible bookstores are filled with self-help pop psychology. Feel-good solutions to life. Self-help. Friend, can I tell you, by the very fact that we're fallen tells you you can't help yourself and you need God to do it. And when I, in obedience, apply His principles to my life, then it moves me in the right direction. And it fixes the areas of my life that sin has marred. The Bible says, in keeping of them there is great reward. Did you see that? God's Word in the heart. People think that God's trying to keep them from something fun. Young people feel like that God doesn't want to have any fun. God doesn't want them to know anything, that to have a good time. And God just doesn't want me to be happy. And nothing can be further from the truth. Matter of fact, God is seeking to protect you from that which will ruin your life. He is. And there's even adults that will say, well, that maybe they're getting ready to step outside the will of God, and maybe they're going to involve themselves in an immoral act or whatever it is, and they'll say, well, I just want to be happy. Friend, can I tell you, God's not about making us happy. God's about making us holy. And when we're holy, there's a joy that comes into our lives. In keeping them, there's great reward. 1 John 5:2, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Do you realize when you learn how much God loves you, and how His Word is designed not to harm you, hurt you, to make you miserable, but to help you and direct your life in a good and profitable way, to bring blessing and joy to your life. When you understand that, when you realize that all of the commandments of God are a reflection of who He is and an outflow of His love for you, that God doesn't want us to harm ourselves and hurt ourselves. He doesn't want us to scar our lives. And that's why John says His commandments aren't grievous. They're not. The devil will lie to us and tell us that they are, but they're not. Every time God says, thou shalt not, He says, don't do yourself any harm. Every time He says, thou shalt, He's saying, help yourself to happiness. You know, everything in the Bible is not negative. There's a lot of positives in the Bible. It's amazing we just talk about the negatives. What about the positives? How God wants to bless our lives. It's cleansing. Look at verse 12. Who can understand His errors? The Bible has a cleansing effect. You know, it's another way of saying we don't really know what's in our hearts. Do you know my heart and your heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? Who can know it, Jeremiah says. You know, the worst advice you'll ever tell anybody is just follow your heart. My heart will lie to me. I can't trust it. It'll deceive us. It'll lead us down wrong paths, but God's Word never will. Look what He says, verse 12, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Hidden sins that we don't even realize is there. Do you know when we read the Bible, it begins to have a cleansing effect on our lives, and we don't even realize it, that it's cleansing us from the inside out as we read it. And things begin, we deal with it, and we begin to get things out of our lives that hinder God's blessing. Secret faults. But then He's going to go from secret faults, things we're not aware of, that God makes known, to presumptuous actions. sins that we know that we shouldn't do, that we do. Look what he says, verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. You see, here it speaks of its control. Its control. That word keep back means to restrain. It means to hold one from something. Presumptuous sin is the worst kind of sin. Because it's willful, it's deliberate, it's not secret, it's scandalous. Sin that's scandalous in the eyes of God because we know better. We know it's wrong. Yeah, we go headlong into it anyway. Somebody says, well, I'm not in adultery. I don't drink alcohol. I don't take drugs. I'm not doing this. I'm not stealing from anybody. I understand. But you know what? There's times we come home from a bad day and you know what? Our attitude isn't right and there's anger in our heart and we're spoiling for a fight with our wife and we know it's wrong and we do it anyway. God said that's scandalous. It's willful. We chose to allow anger to control our lives or bitterness or unforgiveness or whatever it is. Dale Moody, and I know this has been written in many a flyleaf of a Bible, this book will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from this book. Do you know that's true for the preacher? There's many a preacher that probably has that very phrase written in the flyleaf of their Bible that their life has been ruined and destroyed because they didn't have the book. They didn't allow the book to get in their heart and keep them from sin. Same is true of Christians. The truth is either the Bible will control our lives or sin will control our lives. We'll either yield ourselves as instruments of righteousness unto God or we'll yield ourselves as instruments of righteousness unto sin. Every day we live our lives, we need to pray, God, help me today to keep myself from that will destroy my life, my family, my future. God, help me to yield myself to You and read Your Word and get it into my heart and live it out in my life because I don't want to wreck my life. God, I want to know Your joy. Martin Luther said this. He said, the Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. You ever notice how the Bible will pursue you and chase you down? He went on to say, it has hands. It lays hold of me. I'm glad when the Word of God lays hold of us, aren't you? I like that. All right. And then the last one, letter D, it's communion. Look at you at verse 14. He said, when I let the Word of God control me, verse 13, I'll be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Preach, what's the great transgression? That we do in our lives that displeases God and reflects a wrong image of God to the world. Sad to say, there are Christians that reflect God in such a way that the lost don't want Him. They don't want God. They don't want Him. We need to live in such a way we reflect Him. Amen. Communion. Look at verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. David's saying, Lord, I want to commune with You. I want to spend time with You. Do you know God wants to spend time with you? He made you to fellowship with Him. It's through reading and meditating on the words of this book that God speaks to us, that we hear His voice. It enables us to live and think and live in such a way that our lives are acceptable and pleasing to Him. It's in the Bible that we learn that God is our strength. I'm weak. I don't know about you. I'm not sufficient. I don't know about you. But God is. When I'm weak, He's strong. When I can't, He can. He's my rock. He's my refuge. He's my confidence. He's my fortress. We can commune with Him and share our heart with God. We can tell God what we can't tell anybody. And what you tell God, He won't tell anybody. Isn't that something? And notice He says, my strength and my Redeemer. God, thank You for redeeming me. Isn't that something? You know, our meditation of Him can be sweet. It can. It can. You see, church, I just want you to know tonight we can know God. We can know Him by the creation around us. You know, on a really nice night, you ought to walk out and look up into the heavens and just thank God for His glory and His greatness and His goodness in our lives. Just stand in awe of God and what He can do. That the God that made the worlds is the God that made you. The God who's overseeing the universe, He's in charge of your life. Then I can know Him through His Word in my hand. I can open the Bible and I can learn of God. I know who He is, what He's about, what He wants to do in my life, what He desires for my life. And then I get His Word in my heart and enables me to live for Him and please Him with my life. And there's nothing greater than doing the will of God and pleasing Him. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? My, aren't you glad tonight that not only can God, does God know us, but we can know Him. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight.